All right. We're ready for the opening scripture. We've had a lot this morning already happen, but this is kind of going to be more like a topic. And sometimes people use PowerPoint presentations or slides, and I do have some slides, but the topic is on hope, H-O-P-E, hope. So, Angie, is that all ready to go? From Psalm 42:11 will be our opening scripture. And I have it in God's Word translation, which is very interesting. But that's similar. This is, "Why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise Him. He's my Savior and my God." But I wanted to look at this from the perspective of the spirit man versus the flesh man. Okay? You can speak to your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your feelings, your emotions, all the stuff that goes with the soulish part of us. But the spirit man can speak to your soul. Remember Psalm 103 when David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits," and he's telling his soul, the flesh part, "Bless the Lord, soul." And it's always the soulish realm where there's no joy. It's always the soulish realm when everything is negative and we're looking down, we're discouraged, we're disappointed. But the spirit man is always having a praise party, because the new creation, the new you in the earth suit, is made in the image of the Lord. And so God is not discouraged. So why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God. And what I wanted to talk about hope, there's kind of a couple definitions of the word that's important to look at. One is to desire with an expectation of fulfillment. We know Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So when we have a hope, it can be used as a noun. It can be like an object. You exercise your hope. It's also an action word, a confident expectation, or one who is the cause of confident expectation. So you can put your hopes in a person, and the person can be quite apt to let you down or fall short of the goals maybe that you've established that you feel that person should come through for you. But if you put your hope in the Lord, that's a real, that's the source to the believer of where we need to have our hope, because it doesn't take long in a conversation in the room this morning that I would say that probably many of us have been kind of discouraged about some things we've been seeing for the last year. Would that be a true statement? And so our hope, in spite of that, has got to be in the Lord, because from what I've seen among us, God has been really, really good to each and every one of us. The freedom that we can still gather, no one's come busting our door. "No, I heard a rumor that you guys weren't wearing masks." No, it wasn't a rumor. It was true. but nobody has, nothing ever came of that. And I'm very thankful for that. But just in case, we have to fake it. No. But it is a testimony, because word got to the governor of our state of what was said. What was reportedly said? The pastor said, "We don't need to wear masks because we pray." Wow, what a testimony all the way to the top of our state government. That word got there. And that's precious. But it's true. But our hope has always got to be in Him. And in light of that, I want to expound on that a little bit with some props. And sometimes I have to go back to some of the things that I experienced on missions trips. And the first one that I went on was in 1991, and Brother Dave Wells took me with him, and we had Jesse's father. Jesse hadn't been born yet, but Jesse's father was on that trip with us as well, and another person who was a member of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, and he was from Maine. And as we went, it was fine while we were in Germany. But as soon as we crossed the border into the Czech Republic, it was like going from light to darkness. Even the weather changed. And it was just gloomy and cloudy and rainy day after day after day. We just hoped that we would see some sun. And as the mission unfolded, there were people there that arranged meetings for us, places for us to go and speak, people that we would meet. And one of the, I've referred to this a couple times, about the schools, where in one town there was a Volkswagen manufacturing plant and they were selling drugs to the kids in school near where the factory was. And so drugs were an issue. There were a lot of occult activities in the public schools. But a new government was being formed. You have to remember, in 1989, it was President Reagan that told Mr. Gorbachev in Russia to tear down that wall. And Don testified last week about going into Yugoslavia before that happened and what it was like. And the people were much like what the King James Version says, "Why art thou cast down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" One of the things I noticed too was an observation, was that everybody just seemed like they didn't seem to have any hope. I didn't see a lot of happy, smiling people. They just had almost a glum, bland kind of countenance. No expression of joy or sadness, just existing. And we stayed with some of the people, some of our brothers and sisters, who had been involved with 40 years of communist oppression, to the point of they never thought it would end. The schools were all communist teachers, colleges, communist professors, people in the government. Nobody was allowed to have any property. You couldn't own property. They heated the El Chapo government housing with steam pipes that came from a coal-generated power plant. And if you didn't toe the line in the wintertime, they would shut off the steam and freeze people into submission to force them to do what the government told them they had to do. It was awful, the living conditions. Some people were able to flee to Austria and other neighboring countries, but there was just such a spirit of oppression. You could literally feel it when you crossed the border from a free nation into one that was just beginning to get free, and nobody knew how to handle that. They were kind of in limbo. But there was this man that we had a privilege to meet. I still have his business card as a souvenir. He was the new deputy minister of education in the newly formed Czech government. There were still communists in authority, still in power. There were Russian troops stationed in barracks outside of some of the places. We were told we couldn't hand out tracts in one place, and there were some KGB people that came to us and said we couldn't do that. And rightfully, we knew that we could, but if they could intimidate you and tell you you couldn't. But this man had a vision in his government for something drastic that was just so phenomenally different It was hard to believe that he had this plan. We were taken to several high schools, and the kids were from 14 to 16 years old. And we were allowed, yeah, Aaron, you can pull up the first one now, please. And what you're going to see here is we brought chick tracts, gospel tracts, and Bibles, and we were allowed to go into the public schools in a country where these kids, 2 years before, were all sitting under communist teachers and instructors. And now they're having an opportunity to hear the gospel, to read it in their own language. We made sure that we had plenty of tracts printed, even in Russian, so that even the East European nations, one of the primary languages was Russian, so the people could read these. But we had them in their own languages. We went in and shared our testimonies about how even in my own life, it was good to be able to go and talk about the drug addiction because drugs were in the schools. And this man, the new deputy minister of education, wanted to make sure that, well, I can tell you exactly what he wrote because I had to go back to my journal and I had printed what this man had said. He stated that there will be a Bible for every student in every public school so that each will have the opportunity to know the one true living God. Can you imagine if our president's secretary of education got up and went on nationwide TV and said, the schools are failing. We need this in our country to bring balance and restoration to our educational system, because this is what our kids are getting, and they're not getting anything else. And this man had the courage to stand up in his nation and declare this. And this was in, it was in May of 1991. And in September, he went on nationwide radio, broadcast all over the whole nation. And for this is from the American Bible Society, because that's where we got all our Bibles. So they're involved in making sure that God's Word gets in many countries. And so you can go to the next one, Aaron, if you would, please. These are people responding to the, they want to be saved. Their response to the gospel shared in the classroom. Well, this is powerful. Because I knew in my heart I couldn't go into the Chester schools where our kids were in school and do what I got away with in a former communist country. I tried it in Windsor. We went up there evangelizing with tracts at the high school. When the kids were getting off the school bus, we were standing on the sidewalk handing out chick tracts. And the principal came out. And he was irate. He was so angry. He said, if you take one more step back, you're on school property and I'll have you arrested. I can't tell you what I almost told him because it shouldn't be repeated in church or anywhere else. But I zipped my lip. I really wanted to jump right in the middle of the lawn. But I already got some bad press about doing something at a selectmen's meeting. Didn't want to bring a bad reputation to the church, so. But the contrast of being able to go there and share these experiences. But this is what he wrote, this Vlana, Vaslav Vlana, Farana, Deputy Minister of Education. He even got his phone number. Okay, we'll go through the other slides, Aaron. Please. Okay, we're talking about hope. I don't know if you can see it, but up on that patio, you'll see the Czech flag, and right beside it, you'll see the flag of America. America, to these people, under 40 years of communist oppression in prison camps and slave labor camps, they look to America as their hope. Because we had a president that stood up and said something about that very thing, about tearing down that wall between the nations. And when it came down, they always looked to America because America represented hope to a world of oppression that held people in bondage and captivity to a system of government that was so contrary to any life that anyone could possibly have. And they looked to America as their hope. And they were brave enough to put an American flag out there and celebrate. We saw many more, but Dave Wells took that picture. And I like the Red Cross ambulance out front too. It just happened to be there under that flag. But there, these people, they looked to our nation as hope. And soon after Reagan told Gorbachev to tear down that wall, we were there with the gospel. I mean, less than 2 years later. And what a joy that was, because that really brought hope. But here's what this gentleman in the Czech government, you can go to the next one because I think we have a picture of. There he is in the middle, little guy with the glasses there. That's Dave Wells' friend, Fred. That's Václav. Václav and Marie came to America. They visited with us and stayed with us for a couple weeks. Dave Wells, Mr. Vrana, myself, Jim McCoy, that's Jesse's dad, and Clark, who was Dave Wells' son. This was our team. We had a team of four. And these people behind the scenes over there had organized all these meetings. So this is what this man in the middle there, speaking to all students across Czechoslovakia in a radio broadcast in September, the Minister of Education emphasized the Bible as a cultural, literary, and ethical jewel that had been kept from the Czechoslovakian youth for many years. He stated that if they did not learn the Bible, their education would be incomplete and they would not understand many of the arts around the world. He further suggested that the Bible was the key to the treasures of world culture and advised the young people to learn about God. And do you know, at that meeting, he only had given us an hour, but it ended up being 3 hours because he was in a position to change the time that he was given. That's in the presidential palace. It's in Prague. And I have other photos of the elaborateness of the rooms and the chandeliers, all the gold and all that stuff. And here this man gave 3 hours. He had his secretary call and cancel all his other appointments. He asked her if she'd make tea and coffee and find some goodies for us. And we sat at one of these big conference tables for 3 hours, and we all had a chance to share. And this man shared his hope for their nation, which actually was implemented. They actually did it. And then at the end, David Wells looked at him and he said, "Sir, that is an awesome plan that you have for your nation. And you're really going to need some strength and you're going to need some courage to pull this off." And he asked him, "Have you ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And this man said, "No, I haven't, but I would like to after spending 3 hours with you, man." So David led him in the sinner's prayer right there at his big conference table where we were all sitting, and he got saved. And then David said, "And one more thing. You're going to need strength and power, because there are a lot of communists that are still in the government and they're not willing to loose their grip on people, let them have hope." So David told him about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this man said, "I want that too." And so right there, after 3 hours, a decision that was made that affected the entire nation that had no hope. They were despondent, downtrodden, cast down, just like Psalm 43 says, or 42, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why is there no hope? Why? What's wrong? There's something wrong. There's something missing. There's something lacking." And in their nation, it was the hope that the gospel provides. And this man actually implemented that. And I went back 2 more times. And then the 4th trip back, I took David on his last trip. It was my 4th, but his last. And we went and checked up on that gentleman. And he was still standing strong. in the new government of the nation. And it's so powerful how one person with a vision can change an entire nation and set everything upside down compared to what it had been, and being able to start in the schools. And I knew already going there that I couldn't come home and do that here. And why? Because I studied communism in the military. It was part of my training because I was assigned to a top secret intelligence gathering site in Germany. That was what I was trained to do. And I know that's what's happened here. Everything that I saw that these people were living under is now here. I want you to pay attention to some buzzwords. It started off with the word progressive. You remember back a few years ago we began hearing that word progressive? That was the buzzword for socialism. Then they felt more cocky and more bold and more brave. They began to take the dressing off it and call it socialism. I remember it in my study of Russia and communism. It was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, and they had a Socialist Democratic Party in Russia. And I began to see the transferring of their doctrines coming into the Democratic Party here in America. And if that offends you, I'm not sorry for it. You need to be aware. You need to be on your guard, because what's coming against our nation is going to take the power and the presence and the strength of God in every believer to put a stop to it before it's too late. Because I'll tell you, America's the hope of the world, and America's been a target for many years, because they know if they can take America, they can conquer every other nation in the world. If America falls, they will all fall. And so socialism is the buzzword for communism. We just haven't had the revolution yet. It's starting. And I don't mean to bring politics into a good message, so I'm trying to avoid that. But it's hard to. When you study that, you were prepared for that in a time of war. And then having gone on these trips, and you went to a communist country too, it's no accident that we're all here by God's choice. Because you are the ones that are going to make a difference. All of us together. I don't know. I went to get my first. You can stop that now, Aaron, if you will, or Angie, because that's pretty much my message on hope today.